you don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Welcome to Guys We Fuck,
the anti-slut shaming podcast.
Yo, you haven't said?
I'm Christina Hutchinson.
I'm Corinne Fisher.
And I'm Fuck Your Boyfriend. Bring us your slutty, your horny, and your shame.
Hey, you a slut?
Yes.
Okay.
Let's talk about fucking.
What up, fuckers? How you doing? Welcome to another episode of Guys We Fuck.
It's the Anti-Slut Shaming Podcast. I'm Corinne Fisher.
I'm Christina Hutchinson.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah.
Have you watched our special yet? We're going to keep asking you until every...
Put it on the background.
...person who listens to the podcast has also listened to the special.
Yes.
We know the numbers, guys.
Yeah.
You can't hide from us.
Yeah, we see. We have eyes.
And it comes to your house.
Yeah. And I'm going to knock on your door and I'm going to wake you up and I'm going to go, fucking watch it, please. And then you're going to hate me for that.
Yeah, then we're not going to go on tour live with new stuff until you watch the fucking old stuff.
Yeah, you bitch.
This is a threat I just made
Thanks
up.
Thanks for being here and supporting us. We really appreciate it.
I didn't run it past Christina.
That's all right. I soften the blow.
I guess you're
yin and yang, baby.
I guess unless you're in Baltimore, London, or Dublin.
Yeah.
Because she's already agreed to those dates. But after that,
yeah,
you're in trouble.
Yeah. After those tour dates, you're gonna regret your decision.
Yeah, or Fort Collins, Colorado for me. You know? I wouldn't take that away from you guys. It's Fort Collins. Come on, you can go an hour closer to Denver. Anyway, no, I'm excited.
Watch our comedy special, our special day on YouTube for free. It's really good.
It's very good. Yeah, tell your friends. There's not enough rude comments, which makes me think. Or know that Ooh. Only fans are watching it.
Wait, roast us and we'll read the funniest ones.
Well.
Oh, no.
I don't think it's good to have negative comments on the YouTube channel for no reason.
If they're trying to be funny and roast us.
No one's going to know that except for us.
Yeah. No. I'm grasping at straws, Corinne.
You can write it and then I'll go and delete it.
You're really just inviting destruction of your own mental health.
All right. Well, no, I mean, after you've been torn to shreds on the internet a bunch of times, your skin gets real thick and now you're like, come at me, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
Punch me. I got thick skin now. I won't feel it.
Oh. Anyway, youtube.com/guyswefucked without the U in fucked. Our special day.
Yes.
It's a comedy special. Send it to a friend as a present. Say you paid for it.
Yeah, please. Just and
good thinking.
Thank you.
Yeah. If you're it's a good idea. You're really smart.
I've sent my brother a comedy album, but I paid for it.
Wow.
Like sometimes I'll buy my family members like an album from a comedian that I think they would enjoy, but like who's like in one of our colleagues, not like a super, super famous.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's smart.
I don't know. I think it's
a good gift.
I truly love comedy. So I
do
would
too.
Like,
I
enjoy
think
the gift
me
if
too.
Someone gave that to me.
So get up, get wise. Also, if you're a musician or if you know a musician, all the music featured on Guys We Fucked is from viewers like you.
That's right.
So send Mike Coscarelli your music, your songs.
That's right.
At gwfpodcastmusic@gmail.com. That is the address. gwfpodcastmusic@gmail.com. Send your songs to Mike. He'll send you a permission form slip thing for legalities because Chad. And thanks to everybody whose music you allowed us to feature.
Can I just also add, if you're going to send me music, please send me, I need
Make
a streaming link, but I also need an MP3.
Oh,
so whatever
shit.
Songs you want.
Specs. You got specs.
So this way I can just download it and pop it in. Because a lot of you guys don't send me streaming links and I have to go find it somewhere and rip it.
I have this vision of just someone singing into a phone on the voice notes app.
I'll even take
and
that.
And then sending it to Mike.
Happy birthday to you.
Can't do anything about that, Chad. That's public domain.
Yeah, that's why I picked it.
Yep.
Public domain.
Oh, shit.
One that we feel safe about.
All right. If you want to email Corinne and I about what's going on in your life, make the subject line pretty clear and send it to sorryaboutlastnightshow@gmail.com. Today's subject line is poly problems. Mm-mm. You don't say. Sorry, this is kind of long and it's a bit complicated. Yeah, because it's poly. I had been with my partner for about 6 months. He has cerebral palsy and a lot of trauma related to his disability. Mm. People suck and have treated him poorly, even his own family.
What? It's 2022. Who's making fun of disabled people anymore, guys? That's like Bible stuff.
Yeah.
Bible stuff.
Oh, yeah. They do not like disabled. That's like a main part of the Bible.
That's terrible. Yeah. They were like, wait, a main part? It's fucked up.
People remember it.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's not great.
Whatever. Oh, anyway, the stories he has told me make me cry. I was really enjoying our relationship, but have been realizing in past relationships and this one that monogamy makes me feel trapped and as if I am owned by someone.
I feel you.
I want to always be able to make my own choices about what I do with my body. I communicated this to him early on and continue to as I began to learn about what solo poly meant and about the poly queer community in general. I identified with it and I felt at home with the people I met in the area who were in the lifestyle. This has all been challenging for my partner, who has tried to adapt but did not find it as natural as it felt for me. I learned about the term the other day called poly under duress. Mm. Oh, yes. I've heard Dan Savage talk about that many times. And I started to feel as though my partner was forcing himself to be poly for me, which is what poly under duress is for, is referring to, which is something I had always told him was not necessary as long as he could come to terms with my lifestyle.
As long as I can fuck other people,
right? Yeah.
You can be monogamous.
Yeah, how you are taking his hand and going, hey, come with me to poly under duress. You're guiding him, your partner, through this. He started acting in ways I never thought he would and saying things to friends that I had no idea he felt were true. It came to a point where I felt I had to end the relationship and I became so concerned about his mental health. I'm so curious about what you think about this, Corinne.
I was just thinking of really fucked up jokes in my head that I can't make on this show, I'll make somewhere else.
I became so concerned about his mental health that I recommended he go to the crisis clinic and get evaluated for inpatient treatment. So I bought him, I brought him, and he's in the hospital now, but he doesn't seem to understand the situation. Did he get sent to this? He told the intake person we were breaking up for now. I feel awful and as though I have and am hurting someone so much in the process of figuring out what I want and who I am. I guess I'm asking for reassurance that I am doing the right thing and that I should continue to be firm in setting boundaries with him.
Sounds like Ubered someone to the psych ward, lady.
Yeah, who didn't want to go after you were like, hey, we're either breaking up or I'm fucking other people. It is particularly hard because I know he internalizes a lot about his disability and sometimes thinks it has to do, I think it has to do with that. I recognize it does add a different dynamic to our relationship in some ways, but it doesn't change the way I see him as a person. It's the mental health and behavior that is concerning, and I can no longer support him because it's hurting me to do so. What? That feels incredibly selfish. Yeah. And I don't know what to do. Thanks for doing the show. It's helped me a lot. I'm way behind right now, but I'm catching up. All right, Corinne. Okay. You always see the truth in situations where I'm like, what the fuck is happening?
This email is all about you. It's like,
yeah, it's
you ever meet someone who's like, I'm so concerned about you, Christina. I'm like concerned about like,
yeah, have you met my mom?
How I can't, how I wake up in the morning and think about you. How
that's exactly how
I'm
raised.
Obsessed with you.
Like
you're right. You're like the writer is writing as if she is so overly concerned with her former partner. But really, this email's all about you, girl.
Yeah, and it doesn't seem, unless you're leaving something out here, that you're not being very kind to him. You're saying like, oh, you know, he's you know, I want to be mindful of his own insecurities, with his disabilities. But
listen.
But you're basically putting him in poly under duress.
Yeah, the poly thing is not the main issue here. And the fact that you put it as the subject line of this email actually makes me worry about your mental health.
Yeah,
the issue here is that her former partner has a lot of mental health issues surrounding his cerebral palsy, which makes sense. I can only imagine, especially if people are making fun of you. Again, where do you live? On a school bus in 1950? It's so fucking weird.
Yeah, people are shitbags.
And you should go check out a comedian named Josh Blue. He has cerebral palsy. Oh, yeah. Very funny.
And watch Crip Camp. Holy shit. Oh, that one story about the two people who fell in love and they both had cerebral palsy is one of the most beautiful things I've ever heard.
And then also, yeah, I mean, this is...
I feel like you have your head up your own ass so far up there that you're not really seeing what's happening,
yeah, you
I think.
You're, and you're also like, you're talking about him as if he is mentally disabled.
Right.
And he's
not.
By my understanding, he is only... physically disabled, but you're talking about him as if he is like less capable than you. And,
but you're like wearing it like a badge in a way.
And like
is that, that's the impression I got.
It's a little, yeah. Well, you have like a savior complex.
Yeah, there we go.
Yes.
There we go. I knew you'd freaking know what's happening in this email.
It's which is it's so it's very strange. And he just seems to kind of go along with it. I'm guessing because
he loves you. He seems like he loves you.
I'm guessing because you chose him as a partner. And sometimes when people aren't chosen as a partner by many people or feel like they are not wanted, anyone who chooses them, no matter how they are treated by that person in the long run, they will feel close to, and they want to, and he won't want to remain loyal to you. Like, honestly, this feels like it's like a fucking abused dog at this point.
Yeah.
Who's like, you're the only owner. Like, you're talking about you don't like feeling owned. It seems like you're treating him like you own him. So again, like projecting.
Right. Right.
But there's a, yeah, I mean, I know that you wrote this email being like, yeah, wanting us to hear like, yeah, girl, go live your own truth and fuck whoever you want. But I think you're the one in the wrong here. And this email is very strangely worded.
Yeah.
And I think you really need to, yeah, you shouldn't be together, but you shouldn't be together because he shouldn't be with you,
yeah,
not because you shouldn't be with him.
Yeah.
Same
so,
as man.
Yeah. Yeah. For real. The Polly thing, I don't know what the fuck that is going on there. That seems like that was just some like weird, lame excuse he made up to not hurt his feelings when you wanted to break up with him. Whether or not you're poly, that's your own journey. I don't actually care about it right now because I'm so concerned about this guy that you drove to a mental facility.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I'm like stunned.
Can you, person who wrote this, if you're listening, I hope you are, can you write us? I want clarification. I don't understand unless there's something I'm not missing, and this is an accurate read of the situation, but right now, if you're coming off like my mom, and I'm getting triggered.
I mean, also, I mean, not that this man doesn't have free will, because obviously, like, we have to treat him, you know, even though the email is written as if he is less than a whole person, and I don't think that was your intention, but that's how it's coming off.
Yeah.
So, I mean, first of all, he's in a weird mental state to begin with because of his disability. Not even weird, just like that's been his whole life, his whole experience. So it's tender, his mental health.
Yeah.
And then you feel trapped. Again, you feel trapped. He doesn't feel. So you decide that you want to be poly after exploring that. He's so attached to you. He obviously doesn't have a lot of self-confidence and has some issues surrounding being a disabled person. And then you allow him to become poly under duress. And like, again, like, it's hard to say allow because he has free will, but it feels like in this relationship, he doesn't, kind of.
Yeah. And
so that's why I'm saying allow.
And if he was never interested in poly, he doesn't know the vernacular. Like, he doesn't understand, like, what are the options? What are the rules? What are bound? Like, what does that even look like?
I mean, haven't yeah,
had
I think
a model of it.
New rule for this podcast. Stop trying to convince your partners to be poly. If they didn't think of it on their own, they don't want to do it.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the rule. That's the ground rule.
Also, too, you guys, when you want to spice something up or change a dynamic in your relationship, like consider the idea of slowly incorporating it like into dirty talk first, like pitch that first and see how you both feel about it and if there's anything to build on there. Otherwise, I feel like these big conversations, like, if you don't know what you want, you gotta fucking.
Being poly is a big thing. That's why it's literally called a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle choice. Life is the entirety, the whole fucking thing.
Yeah.
It's not just deciding.
It's like being a comedian. Like, you're fucking, I mean, it's, you know,
It's not deciding you're going to have three. It's not like deciding you're going to have threesomes sometimes. It's a whole committed lifestyle with multiple people involved, which is wild because it's always the fucking people who couldn't master monogamy who are then moving on to polyamory.
And that's
what
not going
to help.
What
the fuck are you doing?
It's like
you couldn't even handle one person.
It's like having a baby to save a marriage.
What? So this is so frustrating.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of you guys. Yeah.
This is like
very
me
common.
Saying I'm going to go poly. I can't even hang out with one person for 6 months. Like, are you out of your mind? Are you out of your mind?
Oh my God. People don't have the emotional capacity, and just consider you might be running from something and ask yourself, what is it? Yeah, what is that thing?
We're literally in the business of, I was talking about polyamory in a green room this weekend because it's always causing a problem.
Mm-hmm. It is.
And I know the poly community gets on me, and I know like for shit I wrote in the book, like a lot of the book reviews are just like poly people who weren't getting fucked because there's too many people in the relationship. So they had time to write notes about book reviews on like bookreviews.com.
It's one of the benefits, all that extra time.
Like that's what you do with it. Plant a tree.
I'm not saying it's not real. I'm not saying it's like a fairy, like it's a fantasy creature, the polyamorous relationship. But what I am saying is it's rare. It's like a four-leaf clover. You're not going to find it a lot. And when you do, it's going to be stepped on and trampled and have dog doo-doo on it.
Uh-huh. And you're going to go, do I really want this? And you're just going to go, well, I said I did. So let's just stick with it.
Yeah. Again, like I know one person in my whole entire life who I've ever met on the podcast, off the podcast, who I truly feel is a polyamorous human being. And he's constantly, he's a good partner to his primary partner, but I feel like also has hurt her a lot through.
And I too only know one person. It's this one Corinne knows. So, I mean, we talk about sex all the time. All of our friends and all of our comedian colleagues bring their weirdest sex problems and questions to us all the time. Truly, that person you're talking about is the only person where I'm like, oh yeah, he is healthily balanced poly. And like you said, even with that, you're still going to fuck it up.
It's so frustrating because people just have started using the word polyamorous so loosely.
Yeah.
Like anytime their genitals call to them, they're like, I must be polyamorous. No, you're not. Don't like the person that you're dating. B, want to fuck other people. Three, are a cheater. I mean,
cheater. Like, you're a cheater. But I also imagine like the voices, you're in your head, you're arriving at a fork in the road. And to the left, it's like, you know what? I need to interrogate myself and go, oh, why do I have these fears or hesitations or what's complicated about my feelings or I feel about this person? And then to the right is just, maybe I'm poly. And then you just do that one and then you don't interrogate yourself. So you gotta, if you don't clean it up, it's going to come back to haunt you.
Yeah, so many people think going poly is easier than breaking up with someone. I think actually sitting and thinking about it, what happened here is you wanted to break up with someone, but he has cerebral palsy and he's depressed about it. So instead,
and you feel bad and you're like, I'm poly.
Yeah, so instead of letting him go, you actually torturously are slowly ghosting him through polyamory.
Do you hear what she's saying?
Do you think that's going to make him feel better?
That's awful.
I don't think it is.
Yeah.
I don't think it is.
You got to change your ways.
Breaking up with someone hurts a lot. It sucks. In some ways, I think it's worse than getting dumped because you have to like
hurt someone
and you have
unless
to voice
you really
your opinion.
Hate them. Like, unless you really are like, fuck this, I'm done.
Oh, that's the best.
Because you don't have to worry about it.
I know.
The worst is when you actually think that somebody's great and you're just not ready for a relationship and you just like.
Or you just not, you don't like them enough or you just, you've grown out of it.
Or you like love them, but you're not in love with them. That's a killer.
Oh, right. Or you're going to have, and you're going to have to see their face and you're going to have to see them actually like start to tear up or whatever.
Actually
hurt their feelings.
Or worse, you think they really like you and then you dump them and then they're actually. Like not that hurt.
Yeah. When you dump somebody and they're relieved, that blows.
That is bad.
That blows. Especially if you've prepped yourself to be like, all right, what am I gonna say?
I'm gonna devastate this person on Monday.
I gotta be gentle. And they're like, oh, I'm glad we're on the same page. You're like, I'm just going to go kill myself.
I always thought that that's what adult breakups were for a while.
What?
That eventually somebody just had this blowout fight where you were just like, fuck you, I'm out of here.
If you're in a hot relationship,
if you have good sex, you're having the sex.
Yeah.
That was the most Jersey thing you ever said.
I'm out of here.
I thought it was just a lot of door slamming. Pots on the floor.
Yeah.
and it's dangling just, my chain with my fingers.
It turns out it's a lot of quiet conversations on a couch where you see the pain in someone's face when you have to just be like, I'm so sorry.
Where are the tears and the yelling and the passion?
Yeah. So anticlimactic.
Oh boy. You guys, imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Well, Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50. What? The best part is Quince items are all priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. And I freaking love that for everybody involved. I love Quince. You can get so many items on there. Their sweaters are so soft. I have this beautiful hunter green purse that I carry around all the time. I always get compliments on it. And I'm like, guys, it's from Quince, okay? It looks really bougie. Oh, I love it so much. Indulge in affordable luxury, guys. Go to quince.com/GWF for free shipping on your order and 365 days returns. That's quince.com, quince.com/GWF to get free shipping and 365 day returns. quince.com/GWF. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? Is it drained? You know, we wake up in the morning, we have a tank of gas, and then the tank gets depleted over the day. And therapy can really help with that, okay? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery or your gas tank. I love therapy. I'm a huge advocate for it. Getting stuff off your chest alone is really helpful. But when you're talking to a licensed therapist that can actually give you tips and tricks and homework, it just makes it all the more better. And honestly, your friends will appreciate you not bugging them all the time. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief survey and get matched with a licensed therapist. And you could switch therapists every time because therapy, finding a therapist, it's like dating. They're not all going to work out. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/guys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/guys.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Guys, come see us live. Baltimore, Maryland, I'm going to be headlining with Goobies March 24th to the 26th. London, UK, May 12th at the Leicester Square Theater. And Dublin, Ireland, May 13th at the venue that I was going to put and then I didn't. But go to my website, ChristineHutchinson.com for tickets. And I have a solo podcast, The Voices in Our Heads, that is the new episodes are only available on Patreon. So you're going to go to Patreon.com/ChristineHutchinson and sign up. And I love you so much.
And Fort Collins, Colorado, April 15th and 16th, four shows at the Comedy Fort. Looks like a fun part of town. I will be there. Get your tickets either in the Linktree link in my Instagram bio at Philanthropy Gal or the website for the Comedy Fort or CorinneFisher.com. You have multiple places. Look at me updating my stuff.
Ooh.
And then Without a Country, man, if you want to learn about Ukraine and Russia, but you also want some dick jokes, listen to Without a Country with me and Shane Smith. Comes out Saturdays wherever you listen to podcasts, including full video on YouTube. We'll explain everything to you. Yeah, and then you'll go, really? They decided to kill a lot of kids and ruin an entire neighborhoods for this, and then you'll be sad, but it'll be
comedy.
Without a Country, baby,
you'll have laughed along the way. I mean, it's like a comedic political podcast, but it's not like we're not doing slapstick.
Yeah. Well, and the news is just a fucking nightmare. So I mean, what are you gonna do?
I don't have a TV, you guys. I wouldn't know.
Yeah, listen, it was lighter when Trump was president. Yeah, but
those fun days, those fun 4 years.
Yeah,
damn. And if you haven't rated and reviewed Guys We Fucked on the iTunes podcast app, please do so. Give us a rating, whatever you want, and leave a comment. But I hope it's good, because that keeps us at the top of the charts and people are allowed to discover us. And we want that to happen. And when you're subscribing to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/guyswefucked, without the U and fuck, which is also all of our social media, make sure you watch the Dumb Bitch Woo Woo Hour as well as our special day.
So much content. Oh my God. You can't even
it's
stop.
It's like we love you or something.
Yeah.
I was looking for a list of topics that I wrote in my phone.
So something that I was thinking about that, because I'm saving my personal stuff for the Luminary bonus episodes, bonus. Which if you're a subscriber, then you'll know you get them twice a month. The Kim Kardashian, mm-hmm. like, you got to fucking work, right?
Yes. Oh. Yes.
And then Jamila, is that how you say it?
Jamila.
Yeah.
My bestie.
She like fucking was rude. Like she.
Jamila's always rude.
Yeah. She was like, it was a People magazine, I guess, on Instagram. There's like, Jamila was like, you fuck. Well, fuck, I should have saved it.
I can't take anything Jamila says seriously, yeah. though, because she's also the one who has the I Weigh Instagram account that I've talked about on multiple podcasts and obsessed with, where she just takes pictures of fat people in bikinis, and then she goes, you're so brave.
Wait, what?
Yeah, Jamila. That's why I can't take Jamila. I don't like Jamila.
Wait, she calls women brave?
She just does a lot of bullshit on the internet where it's just kind
of... She's one of the hottest people to ever exist on the planet.
She's so hot. Very hot.
And then she posts... she started this thing called I Weigh.
Sucks when hot people say things I don't like.
Yeah, she used to be into body positivity. Now she's into body neutrality because she realized it was ridiculous when you're, you know, a size 2 to be body positive. And we can fight about this all day. You guys have a very strong stance on this.
Yeah.
Because it's always people who have never had weight problems who are like, just love your body. Right. Like, it's just like,
I don't get it.
And love your body.
Why wouldn't you love it?
And just like, your body just is capable of so
crazy.
Much. It's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
I mean, your body is capable of a lot of things. I mean, I think it's cool to get nerdy about the science of your body. If you find yourself having like an eating disorder, if you feel any certain neurotic way about your body,
it's all covering up the fact that we want to be hot and we're trying to think of other reasons.
Yeah, but it'll distract yourself from the neurotic thoughts.
Sure,
so that's
it's
cool.
distracting.
Something to get you out of that zone. You know what I mean?
In fairness, though, to our friend Jamila, who I
our friend.
We share the same feelings.
I don't know.
But her clap back, I'm very anti-clap back culture. I think it's kind of like
same.
Weird. But like,
yeah.
What she had said to Kim Kardashian in regards to her, like people just don't want to get up and work. It is fair. Her whole sentiment was that you lived a pretty privileged life. You kind of had an advantage to you're getting an early start on working. It's
yeah.
not you didn't you're not it's not like you started out working at a diner in New Jersey and you're
right.
just like
how
all
cool
of a sudden
would that
a billionaire.
Be,
right, but
you
it's a
I mean?
Sound it's
she
just
is
a sound bite. She really is a hard worker,
she's
I do believe.
Such a hard worker. And if you come from privilege, okay, it's what you do with that privilege.
Yeah,
sure,
it was doing pretty good shit.
Yeah, like it was I understand that it was tone deaf and I understand like but also working in this business, we know how people clip things. It's like I didn't hear the whole interview. No one commenting on it heard the whole interview.
Oh yeah.
And it's like
and they also clipped that exact thing to piss people off and to make people
of
go,
course.
Of course she would say that she's a whore.
Yeah, of course. And furthermore, you know, I think a lot of us were kind of proving her right.
Yeah.
Because we had all this time where we weren't working to comment on Twitter on the fact that she said people weren't working. And then also as business owners who have hired people, people
don't
bad workers.
Dude,
that is
honestly,
fair too. Yeah.
You know,
we've come across people that are they just don't do the thing. And it's, I mean,
and these are not,
don't apply for the job.
These are not unpaid internships. These are paid easy
salary.
Fucking
I have worked
jobs.
With a lot of quote unquote producers that
my
don't know
is,
how to do anything.
Yeah.
You just, you know, we're all trying our best out here. The other thing I was gonna bring up is so you know how like I'm a sucker for a toxic guy kind of
sure do,
but like toxic women, we were talking about one in particular over text, and they're like this chick who's kind of like notoriously just a toxic person, and she had commented on my Instagram.
Whoa.
And I had this desire,
I was like, who is this? And I was like, I know who this
is. To It's so funny. There's like this, I don't know, like a part of me, I guess, that like clings to toxic people.
Oh, no.
A part of me wanted to go like, all right, girl. Yeah, see that. Like I wanted
to. You're going to make plans to hang out with her.
No, I'm not. But I want it. Like I almost like acted like that.
Why?
I don't know.
Wait, you're
dude.
Like attracted to her?
No, I'm not. Like I don't want to fuck her or anything. Oh, okay. But like. It's this puzzle piece. It's an old part of me, but it's so funny that I just noticed it, I guess. I had this desire to like please her.
Oh.
Like
this person's like a full on bully. An adult bully.
Yeah. And I'm like, wow, that's so I mean I didn't, but I thought that was interesting. Like that if you have if you're kind of magnetized towards toxic people, I mean it's a huge problem you gotta work on. But it's just funny to observe, like with men, but also with women. Part of me wants to be like, yeah, girl, that's crazy. Besties. Okay, see ya. Like the middle schooler in me that's still wounded.
Oh, my God.
You know,
yeah,
just wants
sort
to be
of
loved
alpha
and accepted.
Energy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not alpha energy.
Right.
But this girl's toxic alpha energy, I like was
like attractive.
I like went to bow down to it. And then I was like, Christina Marie.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
But I did put like a lot of emojis in the comment, but whatever. But I thought that was funny.
Yeah.
That is funny. And also, I mean, like, it's just funny to me, like, when we're, you know, we're Kim Kardashian, like, she, there's also a part of me that thinks, like, that was purposely isolated. Like,
oh, 100%.
Because, you know, Kris Jenner is always behind it. And then obviously,
yeah, she knows
like,
what people.
The next day, her and Pete Davidson released their first Instagram official pictures as a couple.
Oh.
So it's just like, what they do is the Kardashian template.
They're fucking genius,
gaming
man.
The cycle.
Fan the flames, yeah. Cause a problem, then give us all something to appease it. And it's hilarious while all this is happening. I'm like constantly checking my email because I have a Skims order that I rushed. And
ooh, cute. I hope you get it.
And I needed to come in.
Get that skim thing, little girl.
But whatever, it's just like, okay, like I like this this culture of getting up in arms about a fucking soundbite that a celebrity said, I'm just over it. And like, and also it's like, if we want to, we just need to redirect our attention. It's
right.
Like, we're, by talking about this constantly, we're just giving these people power. And I don't care about talking right now because I fucking like the Kardashians.
I'm talking, be money smart, but with your energy, where you spend your own energy and what you put your energy towards. And if you put your energy towards like making comments about the Kardashians online and making like a screen name so you can make some shitty comments, I would say you're a bad spender.
Yeah, and I also like, I don't even like particularly like people who grew up rich. They do have a certain like about them. But like, I also don't think that
cool.
If you grew, like if you were born into a rich family that you should constantly have to fucking apologize for your existence.
No.
How tiring.
Yeah. Well, but there's a difference between somebody that is born into a rich, wealthy family that sort of does something with it and is not constantly fighting for the attention of the public, which is what the Kardashians
do. But we're giving
do.
It to her.
I mean, they're
and she's
fighting
constantly
for it.
Giving us great products.
I know.
Totally.
Honestly.
Listen,
she's a good business lady.
Her shit is good.
Yeah.
The business aspect of the Kardashians aside, to the credit of your point that you just made, they are constantly, they survive off the lifeblood of
the shits that
the
has happened and, to that fucking family
yeah.
is like, what the fuck? God spent a little more time on you guys, all of you.
Like if Kim did all this stuff.
Yeah, it wasn't all rosy.
And was just and is not in the public eye, but she became a billionaire as a businesswoman, even with the advantage that she had.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any chance that she gets this type of backlash from people.
Right.
There's plenty.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You get backlash from people when you kind of, you know, you ruffle feathers. And you ruffle feathers when you're being yourself, really.
Right. And you're
not being a generic piece of shit.
And you need to, you know, be famous. It's like a part of what, it's part of the Kardashian brand.
She's very, they're
it's
very good at being
rich,
famous.
Yeah. It's fame, you know?
That's a look. They created a whole fucking look. And then also, more importantly, WNBA star Brittany Griner, guys.
Oh my God.
I don't know if,
she had marijuana vape cartridges in her suitcase in Russia.
They're not even sure if that's even true.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, they probably planted that shit.
Well, the thing is, she's being detained in Russia and like the US is basically working now to get her out. But this is like
go get her, guys.
guys.
This is like a very serious situation. And so it just like, it just bothered. I mean, of course, there's always serious situations going on. And that does not mean that we're not allowed to talk about pop
but
culture.
This is the one we're talking about now.
But like, I was like laughing to myself because everyone was up in arms about fucking Kim Kardashian's aside in fucking Variety. And meanwhile, there's a whole ass person, a star, an athlete, a woman of color. Because it's the same fucking people who are so mad about Kim Kardashian telling you to work who are also the people who are constantly sharing like this many women of color went missing. But it's like, well, okay, so this is what's happening right now.
Yeah,
it's happening right now.
So wait, what can we do?
Fucking talk about it is number one.
Also, member of the LGBT community.
Oh, thank you, Mike. Mm-hmm. I think WNBA kind of said that, but
I just wanted to put it out there.
Thanks for specifying.
No, I actually didn't know that. I didn't know that. Everyone in the WNBA isn't gay, Chad. but I
freaking wish.
Yeah.
Way more fun.
But it's like, you know, I just like don't like that everyone's like getting on their high horse, but then getting on their high horse to talk about something that just is not fucking important. Like Kim Kardashian say whatever the fuck she wants to say. And if we just stop giving her attention, if you're so mad at her about
it. Right, exactly.
Then it'll go away.
Yeah.
You're feeding it. That's like following, it's you.
That's like following somebody on Instagram and commenting on a picture you don't like going, I don't like this. Unfollow.
Yeah, it drives me crazy.
Unfollow. It's free to do that. You just press the button.
I also thought it was an especially bad time to come down on her when she is being emotionally abused by Kanye.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry, Ye, and doesn't have the full support of people. Like if you read her Twitter replies, it's mostly people like calling her a whore and, you know, people who think that she shouldn't be allowed to wear a bikini because she's a mom.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah.
This is like, you know, old school slut shaming happening here. And I think there's just like a lot more important things to worry about.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
It's Yay, right? Because he changes. Yeah. It's not Ye.
It's Yay.
Right, that's what I said because, you know, on Without a Country, Shane was like, well, it's Yeezy, so wouldn't it be Ye? And I was like, well, no, it's
Kanye,
so it has to be Yay. But then I heard him. He was at a Lakers game, and they announced him over the speaker, and the announcer said Yay. So I was like, okay, I think this proves me correct.
Yeah, it's Kanye.
Okay.
All right. Guys, our guest. Whew. Pop culture. Our guest is a Canadian television personality and a podcast host. Her podcast is Off the Vine, which Corinne and I were just on. It was so much fun.
Yes.
She's best known as a contestant on the 19th season of The Bachelor and as the Bachelorette for season 11 in 2015. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show, Caitlin Bristow.
Damsel, now I'm fine by my damn self. Look in the mirror for my hero. No man's help. Stretch marks my body count. You cannot handle my orgasms. Revolutionary, extraordinary scandal, bitch.
Taking selfies is my foreplay when I show up at the soiree. They wanna taste this ass cause my shit is gourmet. Strong, sexy, sassy, drunk on Judgment Day. The only men I'm swallowing is Jack and Jose.
I stay feminine and masculine, no mescaline in shrooms. You can call me daddy, but don't call me too soon. Remind myself to love myself, cause babe, that's what I do. Yo, diamonds, sparkles, jewels, ho, I break all the rules, ho.
Acting hoish till I'm 80, fuck inside a new Mercedes. Flip my hair and they obey me. Pussy juice, the G-O-A-T. Sheets and streets, I say a lady. Cover my nipples with pasties, man, my leech on them like babies. Milk ain't free, you gotta pay me.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
We are here with Caitlin Bristow. We're so excited to interview you. You were a bachelorette.
Yes.
What year were you a bachelorette?
So this was 2015.
That show is is a part of pop culture. It's a part of like the like dating. It's just there's so much about that show that speaks to like the culture of now and that time. I remember when The Bachelor first came on, and I was like, wait, this is what it's gonna be like when I grow up and start dating hunks. I was very excited to watch it. What you mentioned, because we were talking on your podcast earlier, that you were very protected in your upbringing.
Yes.
What do you like? How, paint us a picture, like in what ways?
So I grew up in a very small town in Alberta in Canada. Mm-hmm. And it was just like one of those small little happy towns where we were like stoked when we got a Walmart and there's only, you know, like, I think when I lived there was like 15,000 people.
Wow.
And I just had a really good childhood where my parents were happy and I was in dance lessons and skating lessons and I had good friends and our cousins and aunts and uncles, everyone was so close and we'd go skating on ponds and play hockey and go to hockey games. We just had like a really, really sweet upbringing. And I felt like if anything ever went wrong, my parents would want to fix it before it made us worried or, you know, they just wanted us to always be happy, which later in life, they ended up getting a divorce when I was 18 years old, which is a lot later in life than most people, I feel like. And I started just like not being able to cope with anything bad happening, whether that was like, I remember our dog dying or even just like, if I was in a relationship, I all of a sudden was so scared of any relationship, anything bad that could possibly go wrong. And then my anxiety started where I started thinking about what if people die? And I started spiraling because I never had to think about those things. And I lost one of my best friends when I was 19 and it just,
oh my gosh. So that was back to back. Holy
yes.
shit.
So it was just, and I still just like, I didn't know how to cope with things. It took me all through my 20s to work through therapy on coping with anything and my dark thoughts.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you think that your parents were actually as happy as it looked?
No.
I mean, obviously not later, but yeah,
absolutely
like,
not.
Like, did you ever talk to them about like why they kept things so hidden from you?
Yes. So I've talked to both of them about it. I always call my dad. He's just like one of my heroes. He is how I would want to live my life is like my dad. He is 30 years sober. He still attends AA meetings. He's a mentor. He's just so humble and patient and kind and caring. And so is my mom's an incredible human being. She's so spunky and fun and she was the best mom. And I think they really just prioritized us as kids.
Right.
I don't really necessarily remember big blow ups happening, but if my parents argued, they would have a family meeting. We'd all sit down and talk about our feelings.
Holy crap.
Yes.
That's healthy as hell.
It was, even their divorce was like pretty healthy for what it was. But I knew like by the, you know, once you get older and you see your parents' relationship, I'm like, I knew they weren't in love. I knew they weren't like, you know, they just seemed like good friends who got in small arguments that there's no affection between them. And it just felt like when they told us they were getting a divorce, we were like not surprised around the age of, I don't know what age I was. It was the third grade. They tried to separate. And that's when it was really confusing. Cause I was like, wait, what? I was so young, but they got back together like pretty quickly and everything seemed great. So it's very bizarre because it was, I just felt very like protected that I knew nothing bad would happen to me because my parents would take care of it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Did you get,
No, I was going to say, I think that's like, sometimes we, because I also had a nice childhood. It wasn't like as happy
as Canadian
and skatey as yours, but it was totally, it was very happy and healthy. And I think, and even like, you seem like you were doing it now, like almost like you're like something was wrong that you don't know how to handle bad things. But like, I truly believe our childhood is how it's supposed to go. Like you should feel like your parents should protect you from anything. Like that's what the whole point of it should be. It's not like, oh, your parents should clean up your messes for you like if you can just do whatever you want, run amok and your parents will take care of everything. But overall, like throughout childhood, you should feel protected and like your parents have your back. And I think so many people don't feel that way. And then a lot of us like grow up and like the few people who had nice childhoods to feel like, I always feel like I'm almost like apologizing for it. And it's like, I'm not apologizing for it.
Because
believe me, adulthood is, as you described, a
fucking slap in the face when you had a nice childhood. So it's like brutal.
It's true. It makes me think like how to be a parent, because I wouldn't change anything from my childhood. It was like so magical and happy. And I have the fondest memories of upbringing and all of that. But then how do you, because I would like to have kids eventually. And then I'm like, how do I protect them and make them feel safe and loved with also having them get like doses of reality and not feel pain? I don't know. It's confusing.
Yeah. I think being like, born is traumatic. Yeah. Like just, you know, being born is a trauma in and of itself. And because like either way, however your childhood went, you're still, the real world can be scary. It can be great. It can be all sorts of things. And so you might find yourself in a place where you're like, oh, I don't know how to handle this.
Right.
And then you learn.
I think you can also use art. Like I think my mom used a lot like art and history as a way to expose me to not such idealistic childhoods or experiences. And that's a way to do it without actually like damaging the kids. It's like, you're not going to like bring them to like a gun, like a shootout and be like, here, make your way home, you know? But you're absolutely right. You do need to expose people. Cause we've all met people who, like I met people in college who just like hadn't ever met anyone outside their race or religion, just like didn't know anything other than their own existence.
Right.
And that's also dangerous. Yeah. And kind of just annoying at a certain point. You're like, you're 21. Right. Okay, relax.
Yeah.
But I think there's a way to toe the line and have your kids feel safe and loved and supported, but also understand that everyone doesn't have it like that.
Did you say your parents showed you through art?
Yeah, through art. I think movies,
I love that.
Documentaries. Like I knew what was going on. I just knew it on a larger level. So I didn't so much think like, oh, my neighbors are going through this. I mean, I did actually have an alcoholic neighbor who things weren't going well there. And I did know about that. So I knew that I had it good, but I didn't know that so many people were having like traumatic experiences within the home. I knew more about it like through like celebrities who were, you know, like Ike and Tina or something.
Right.
Well, and I mean, I think back of certain things that like now I see were traumatic, like certain ways that my mom's relationship with food and how that affected me. But in my childhood, I didn't realize that until later in my life.
Sure.
Yeah. You put the pieces together. Yeah. And you also mentioned that you went through a major breakup before you went on The Bachelor. What was that about?
In a very, very dark place. This person, and I actually speak very highly of him because he truly did nothing wrong. So I really wanted to be a dancer when I was little. And my mom was a professional ballerina and I wanted to follow in her footsteps. She owned a dance studio. I danced my whole life. I didn't go to college because I was trying to audition and I was part of a dance company and I'd moved out to Vancouver to dance. And I kept trying to go to all these auditions and I met this guy when I was about 25 and he was a hockey player. Ooh. And Canadians love their hockey players.
And
I was so in love with him. Probably it wasn't a healthy love, but I thought he was my end all be all. And I loved him just so deeply. And I was willing to, you know, move to wherever he needed me to move to follow his career. And I totally gave up on my dream and like what I was doing. And I was okay with it in that first moment because I was like, I have to be with him. And so we lived in Winnipeg and Newfoundland. And then we went out to Germany and he played hockey there. And when I got to Germany, at this point, a shell of myself because I'm realizing, okay, I haven't worked in a couple of years, which I thought would be amazing, but I hated it. I had no friends. I was on a 9-hour time change from where my friends and family were. Mm. I couldn't speak the language. We were in an area that definitely was not like touristy enough for people to speak English. And I would go to the grocery store and I would just sit on the floor and cry, trying to read what like something was because I loved cooking. And I was like, maybe I can just like cook. And I couldn't even find things with the ingredients and Google, like it wasn't as big as it is now. Like I didn't even have data on a phone that I could like, it was just terrible.
Aww.
And he was gone a lot, you know, cause he was on the road playing hockey and the German wives were like kind of clicky and they didn't I just couldn't hang with them. And it was awful. And I just started realizing, like, I'm doing nothing to fulfill myself. I have nothing. I am emotionally, financially, in every way relying on this one person who now he's feeling the burden of this. He sees how unhappy he is. I am. He's also trying to process himself that he's had to lose his own dream of being in the NHL, which he had gotten there and then had been sent down. So he's trying to process his own feelings about disappointment and
how
like
could
failure.
You comfort him during that if you are also in that place that you were in?
Exactly. And I just was, I truly felt like a child. I would cry every day. I would throw tantrums. I was like 98 pounds. I couldn't eat. I was just so depressed.
Yeah.
And it got to a point where we went back to Vancouver, which is where we lived in the summers. And I completely had a meltdown. Like, it was scary.
Yeah.
And he said, you know what, I'm going to go, take some time, like take the night, you stay here. And in the morning I was like, when are you coming back? And he's like, I'm not coming back. You have to leave. Like, I can't do this with you. And I was like, I have nowhere to go. I'm like, I don't have a dollar to my name. I haven't worked in years. I don't have a place to stay. Like, I don't know where to go. And I had to move back in with my parents at the age of like 28 and go get on. I went on antidepressants. I was prescribed Valium because I was definitely feeling suicidal. I felt like I had nothing, which of course, we're all dramatic in a heartbreak, but it really did feel like a loss that I didn't know how to handle. Of course, my coping skills, not great. And so, yeah, I ended up being addicted to Valium and I would just lay on a couch. My mom would come up with YouTube videos of like a hypnotist, like, you're going to be okay. And I would just lay there and I would try and eat something. And then I would just lay down. I was just a shell of myself. And until I got to a point where I was like, I can't do this anymore.
Right. But did you know when you were with him and you were having like temper tantrums and you were depressed, did you know why?
No. Mm. I mean, maybe I knew because I think I knew like I'm supposed to be doing something with my life. Like I would try so hard to make like stupid YouTube videos or try and like make a funny thing. And
you're like, this isn't it. This is
yeah.
When you're neglecting your own needs, It will ruin your life until you stop. Like I, as somebody who's done that so many times, like it's, and you're like, for me, it took me so long to realize that that's why I was upset and depressed.
Cause
like, I didn't even understand that I was doing that. And so once you figure that out, you're like, oh, there's another path. Okay. Whew.
Yes. Yeah. And I was like, there's no way I'm getting back. Like, I didn't want to go start working at a restaurant again and start from the bottom and like, you know, when people are 28 and they think I'm so old now, like, what am I supposed to go back to a restaurant? Right. I was just so stupid, but I went back into the restaurant biz and started to work my way up. And I was, and then I found myself again, cause I was like, I was working hard. I was working my way up in the restaurant biz. I wanted to learn about wine. I got trained under a sommelier. I got to train servers. I got to train bartenders to help open restaurants around Canada. And I was starting to like finally come back, but it took me a good year and a half of just being a shell of myself.
And then how, what happened after that? Is that when you were on television?
Yeah. When did you, how did you get picked to be on TV? Yeah. I'm so interested in this process.
Cause
like, we're not like super bachelor or bachelorette people, but like, so we know
fascinated
how huge
with the concept
it is.
Of the show. Holy shit.
Yes. And so we want to know.
Yeah. So my girlfriend, I think I too had a similar dream where I was like, I need to be like a name and I need to have some sort of like platform. And I didn't know what that looked like. And my girlfriend was like, you know, you've gone through all of this heartbreak and you're finally getting yourself back. She's like, I think you should try and go on The Bachelor. And I was like, they're not good. They don't take Canadians. And she was like, no, actually they do. They take Canadians. I think you only won a season. And I was like, oh my gosh. One Canadian per season. And so she sent in like all this paperwork for me. And I was kind of like a rebel, like in my 20s. And I remember her calling me with my sister and they were like, have you been arrested before? They're filling out the paperwork. And I was like, no. And they're like, really? And I was like, weird, right?
Loser. Yeah.
And so they kind of just filled out all this paperwork for me and sent in photos. And then, I got a call a year after we had sent in my info, and they called me, and they were like, verbatim words were, "Hey, Caitlin, it's Stacy calling from casting with ABC, The Bachelor. Wondering, are you single?"
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And wow. I was like loosely dating a guy at the restaurant. And I was like, yeah, fully single. Yep, yes.
100%. 100%.
I was going to say, one in my life. Like, honestly, I would have to be head over heels in love with someone. I would be like, yeah, actually, I'm single as of today. Yep. As of this phone call.
Right now. Yeah.
Yep. That's amazing. What was the process like to go from that first phone call to be like, you're going to be in the show?
So it's so different for a lot of people, because I know girls who have gone to audition, like after audition, and they go to casting calls and they go through a process where they just called me, and then I flew out to LA and they were kind of like, yeah, we're going to have you on the show. And I was like, oh.
Did they tell you what you can and cannot do? Because I know we at reality TV, as we all know, is very produced. It's very not reality.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
And so was there... I'm interested, like, did you experience like slut shaming or like,
whoa.
I know you said when you left, you experienced a lot, or like after the show, you experienced a lot 'cause you slept with someone.
Yes. So I experienced a lot of manipulation on that show.
At the hands of the producers.
Yeah. Oh, it was so bad. Even the producers to this day will be like, you know, like we really learned a lot from that season, because they saw that I went into a very dark place from what had happened on that show. But basically I fell in love like night one with somebody.
Really?
Yeah.
With the Bachelor guy?
No. Maybe I'm going forward too fast. I was on The Bachelor, and then I was always the girl that, like, I was like, I'm not going to cry over this guy that I don't know. Like, this is so stupid. And I was like, just trying to like chirp the girls behind, like in the, like, I was like, trying to have funny one-liners, but they all knew that's what I was doing. Like, I would say it to their face, and like, they'd be like, hey, what do you think about Ashley I? And I'd be like, oh yeah. Like, I hope she gets her period in a Shark Tank. Like, I can't stand her. I would just try and like, you know, 'cause I didn't think I was going to be there long. So I was like, I'm going to make an impact, and I'm just going to be myself. And like, I came out of the limo, you know, all the girls have like a limo entrance.
Oh yeah.
So the guy that I was coming out for The Bachelor, he was a farmer. And so I come, he was a farmer from Iowa, and wasn't that hot? And I walk up to him and I said, like, I don't know anything about you. I just know your name is Chris, and I know you're a farmer. And I was like, so you can plow the fuck out of my field any day.
Yo, that's fun as shit.
And he was like, huh? And I was like,
oh, loser.
Yeah, that's not how you talk to an Iowa boy. It's so funny, though.
I said to him, I'm like, if you don't think that's funny, like, we're not going to get along, because this is my sense of humor. And I ended up going into like the final three, and he dumped me in Bali. And it was
honestly
amazing.
Of all the places to get dumped. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Did you bone that guy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So that was.
Was he good in bed? Iowa farmer. Good in bed?
That sounds very good in bed.
You
actually.
Know what? It was actually. Yeah. The unfortunate part was we were so tired, and it had been like no sleep. We had traveled for 2 days to get to Bali, and like, he had been getting no sleep, because as the Bachelor, Bachelorette, you literally get no sleep. So it wasn't very exciting. And then we were both like snoring within 30 minutes, and it was like actually just a nice night of sleep, if anything.
Good for you guys. Yeah.
But yeah, then he dumped me, and it was so funny, because I had to be in this outfit, and my hair had to be in a bun, because we were in a temple in Bali, and I was so cocky. I was like, oh, I can't believe he's sending Becca home. Like, clearly I'm meeting his family. And so when he didn't call my name, I was like,
you son of a bitch.
Yeah. And then they made me the Bachelorette. And that's when I was felt like extremely manipulated, because I have not been on television. I have not, you know, I don't know how reality TV works. And I thought the producers were my friends.
Right. That's so what they want you to think. Oh, yes. So you fell in love with a guy right away when you were the Bachelorette. Oh, yes. That's got to be way more fun, because there's all these hot dudes wanting to bone or get to know you. I'd be wet 100% of the time.
Can we just tie up the Bachelor real quick? Because I have a question. So like, okay, were you mad that you got dumped because you wanted to win, or because you actually ended up caring about the guy?
A little bit of both, but deep down that I think I didn't win, because once I was removed from it, I was like, oh wait, that was not my guy. Like, why was I so upset about that?
You're wearing bachelor goggles.
Yeah. In the moment I was like, but I love him. And then I'll never forget, the therapist for the show came up to me to check on me, and I was crying, and she was like, why are you crying? And I was like,
well, whoa, rude.
He dumped me. And she goes, Caitlin, he would have bored you to tears. You are meant to do way bigger things than live on a farm in Iowa. This is not your guy. And I was like,
nice.
Oh shit. That was the first time somebody had been real with me in like 2 months of filming. And Yeah, so then I went on to be Bachelorette, and that's, yeah, when it was fun, of course, because 30 men wanting to like date you, and you know,
yeah. Oh my, and they're all, I'm assuming, mostly hot.
So attractive. But My season was fucked because they made two girls the Bachelorette, and the men had to choose. And I quote Chris Harrison on this one, who will be the better wife?
Oh,
what a cunt.
That's some crazy behavior.
I would have slapped the shit out of it. What the fuck?
That's kind of why I stay away from the show, because of stuff like that. It just feels a little archaic to me. Especially when we're doing a show where we've just progressed so far from that lifestyle. And it's like so much more traditional than I would ever live my life.
Yeah.
But I am still fascinated by it, because I'm fascinated by people's want to live their lives in public, our obsession with other people's relationships, reality TV in general.
Yeah.
Like, it's and also the fact that they picked you to be the Bachelorette means that you are obviously the most interesting person on the show. Right. That's what that means.
They never ever have picked a Bachelorette that's like, you know, I've got tattoos and I'm like, not like your all American sweetheart. I'm not the girl next door. And I feel like they usually had gone with that. And that's what the girl was compared to me. And I was like, well, you know what? I said no at first. I was like, I'm not doing this. And then I thought about it, and I'm like,
then they wanted you more, Caitlin.
Yeah, 1,000% in Hollywood.
1,000%, which helped my negotiation skills with the contract. But I was like, look, if these guys, like, they cast the guys for who they want to be the Bachelorette. So I just told myself, if these guys are all like, she was quite religious and very like, you know, she was just completely different from me. And so I was like, if all these guys are here for her, I don't want to meet them anyways. Like, they're not going to be my kind of guys anyways. So I went, and as soon as I sat down with like 10 of them, I'm like, oh, they're here for me. These guys are here for me. And then I became the Bachelorette.
Someone like rides in on a motorcycle. You're like, yeah, man.
A couple hockey players. Yeah.
The bell of the ball. I mean, when I hang out with like three guy friends that are attractive, I'm like, I am the prettiest woman in the world. Like,
I know.
Can't imagine.
It really does put you on a pedestal.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
That was the time that you fell in love with somebody right away?
Yeah, it was. Now looking back too, I can see that the reason I fell so hard for him right away was that he looked like my ex, that one that I told you about.
Where
I
have, they're twins in Germany.
And I think I was like, oh my gosh, it's 2.0. But then
producers have information on who you used to date?
Oh, because for sure.
They did this on purpose. Okay.
But they knew your type. But also, this guy's like perfect bachelor, like material. I feel like he would have been picked regardless, but he was like, and then I did fall in love with who he was through the season, and that's who I ended up getting engaged to. But
did you like, how many of them did you have feelings for?
Well, okay, you know how it sounds so fun at first where you're like, oh my gosh, I get to just date all these guys. Guys are more dramatic than girls, and there was so much freaking drama going on in the house that I was like, so unattracted
surprised
to so many of them.
Ew.
By like week three, I was like, ugh, like why they all got weird.
In
so
what way?
There was three I actually like really liked. And by the end, I was pretty I was actually 100% sure who I was going to pick, but I still really did care for these two guys where I'm like, it's so weird. Cause if this guy wasn't here, I would have to pick one of them. Like, it's so weird to think
right.
that way.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really liked three of them.
How many of them did you fuck?
Three.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. That's awesome.
Did you do stuff with other guys? Like fingering or like, you know, something out, like some, like cup the boob or something, or
I'm trying to, this feels like so long ago, but it's funny because in the fantasy series, like sex is important to me in a relationship. It,
yeah.
If I'm going to marry you and get engaged to you on this show, like intimacy and having sex is going to be important to me. And when you're given the opportunity to, you know, take the relationships as far as you possibly can to see, cause like, I was so set on Sean, but what if something intimate with Ben changed everything? And then we had this like beautiful chemistry and I'm like, whoa. So I was like, probably making excuses for myself, but also I'm like justifying it because I'm like, well, why wouldn't I take, I know that every man would do that. Any woman who is open sexually would
it's like
do
Goldilocks.
It. And so
you're getting served hot guys on a platter. Fuck them all, Caitlin.
Yeah, exactly.
I did.
Be a bad bitch and fuck those guys.
And I
this is an incredible opportunity.
If you didn't fuck them, I'd be like, Caitlin, what the fuck?
And I mean,
this is a great opportunity.
You have to have STD checks before you go in there. Oh, yeah, it's great.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And now, are there cameras in those suites or no?
No.
Good.
There's not cameras. That's the, so the fantasy suites is when you get to have a full night with somebody with no cameras or anything.
Good.
But what happened to me was usually in the morning, they'll just like the producers will pick you up and then you'll go do an interview. But on my season, they started bringing the cameras to the fantasy suites in the morning to see like what's their energy in the morning after all of this. And they ended up taking noises from my morning sex and like dubbing it over another part of the show. God. And that's when
you
I
can't
got
trust any of these people.
And,
So yeah. So you got slut shamed by women watching The Bachelorette.
It's so crazy. Oh, you're on a hilarious show where they're literally meeting you in captivity to borrow from Esther Perel's book.
Yeah.
And like, what do they expect to happen? You're human beings.
Well, everyone's projecting. Anybody who does that shit on the internet, anybody who takes somebody down on the internet is fucking projecting.
That's so crazy.
I'm like, but what did it look like? Like, how did it seep into your life? And then how did it make you feel? How'd you handle it?
Well, it was a roller coaster because sometimes I thought it was funny and I was like, oh my gosh, this is, these people are nuts. Like, this is so funny. And then it got to a point where it was affecting my relationship where he was like, yeah, why did you sleep with other people?
Oh.
And then that having all
that.
The voices affect him then affected me. But so if you ever are bored and have like 3 minutes, you should YouTube Chris Harrison reading out mean tweets to me on the live show because he took it. He was
like, such a friend of women.
Yeah. Yeah. Seriously. He goes, I'm going to read some of these tweets just so people can like get the point of what you're reading every day. And there was like women being like, you belong in a dumpster. You are a whore. Shut
your
whore legs. You're disgusting. I refuse for my daughter to watch you do anything. And
oh, that poor daughter. Oh God.
Exactly what I thought. And so he read all these and people were like, holy crap. And yeah, I got that all the time. But it's funny because it's like such a gray area of like what is accepted, what's not. Oh, you know that that happens in the fantasy suite, but because you think I did it before that, well, then now I'm a slut. It's so bizarre to me. So I really actually handled it pretty well until it affected my partner so much that he was starting to shame me for it. And
oh, hell no. What that says something about their partner. Hell no.
I got shamed for years. And so it was
by the guy?
Yeah.
What a little bitch. Ew.
Yeah. Yeah. So the shame just never ended. And that's why we ended, because he was never able to get over it. And thank God that that ended, because I like have the most supportive and accepting human being in my life now, where I'm like, how did I do that for 3.5 years of feeling shame around that was it. It was his choice to pick me too. You know, I picked him as a partner on the show, but he had the choice to pick me as well, knowing what had happened.
Absolutely.
Right. And he let his ego get the best of him and he was being a coward.
Yeah.
Well, that's good though. So, So I imagine when you break up with somebody that you publicly were engaged to on a TV show about that exact subject,
it's a whole thing.
You got to fucking deal with everybody's fucking reaction.
Oh my God.
And then
God.
You got to ask, you got to people go, why did you happen? You're like, oh, you got to repeat the same fucking story a million times.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I was happy to have a podcast, because I almost, like, I almost wanted to interview him, like, as if you two would have done and with your ex. Yeah. But I was like, we have both such different views on why this ended. And
his is yours. You're a whore, and yours is that he's not supporting you and shaming you for things that are not your problem.
That's your exactly reason right. is because he said you're a whore. Yeah.
But yeah, the podcasting allows you to clear the air, I imagine.
Yeah. And right? it was able because, you know, media is, you know, they're going to try and have a voice for you, and they're going to write articles and headlines. And a lot of them were actually correct in their, you know, what they were saying. But at the end of the day, I wanted to say it on my podcast, and I wasn't like, I actually protected him a lot in it, because I was like, look, at the end of the day, I don't need this to be messier than it already is. Like,
right.
I know what happened. And if I knew I had to speak about it, because I had shared that part of myself with the world, and that's how they knew who I was. And they were so invested in my relationship that I thought it was fair enough that I had to at least share like what had pretty much happened without making it even messier than it was. So it was, I hated putting out that fucking statement. Like, we remain friends and blah, blah. I don't even know what it said, but I was like,
yeah, it's all bullshit. It's all to appease people and appeal to this fake fucking, they don't even give a shit. It's like, yeah, people have no fucking life, man.
No.
Oh my God.
No.
So how did you then move on to meet the person that you are engaged to now?
So what's interesting is I was trying to process the breakup for a year while, because I knew it wasn't going to work. So in that last year, I was like trying to travel. I went and spent time with family, and I just was like giving it space and trying to like almost wean myself off the relationship, because I knew it was ending.
Smart.
So I feel like I had already accepted the breakup fully and like almost grieved it a little bit by the time it was over. And, and like, of course it's been so much time now that I genuinely actually hope he's just doing well. Cause I don't care.
Right. Then they're the best,
but it's the best. But when it was happening, it had gotten so nasty, and the way he spoke to me and everything, I was like so confident in it being done that I had like, it felt like weight was just lifted off my shoulders. And I was like,
Oh my God,
I did not realize how unhappy and like shameful I was feeling until it was just, I was free of it. And so I met Jason pretty quick after. I didn't want to date anybody from the Bachelor world. I was like, oh, fuck that. I'm not. And so in my podcast, I always interview Bachelor people. And I was visiting a friend in Seattle to visit her and her family. And I was like, oh, who lives in Seattle from Bachelor World I could podcast with? And Jason had just come off the season. And when I got to the podcast studio, I had been yelled at on the phone for going to podcast with a Bachelor guy so shortly after a breakup. And so I was—
What, by your ex?
Yeah. And so I was crying. And I remember the Uber driver turning around to me and saying, don't ever let anybody talk to you like that. And I started bawling, and I went inside, and then Jason comes in, and Jason is like Mr. Happy Go Lucky, positive energy. Like, sometimes I'm like, you can't always be here. It's not fair. And so he came in, and we had this little talk, and I was like, I'm going through it. Like, I'm really going through it. I hope I can like do this podcast justice for you, but I'm going to turn the beat around. Like, it's going to be fine. And we had the best conversation, and I was like, you remind me of home, like a Canadian. And it was just like really sweet, but I walked away from it thinking that guy needs to be the Bachelor. And he walked away from it saying that girl needs to be my girlfriend. Like, and so we ended up talking for a while as friends. He actually helped me with finance. He was a VP of a bank in Seattle. And so he helped me with like financial stuff, and I was trying to help him navigate social media world after coming to the show. And then we just didn't stop talking. And he tried to take me. He sent me a picture of a girl, and he was like, this girl wants to take me on a date. Should I go? And I was like, no.
That's always how I seal the deal all the time. I'm like, this guy and I are kind of seeing each other, and I don't know. Should I tell him I'm seeing someone or?
Totally. Yeah. So that was nice. And then it was just game over from there. And now we're engaged.
And he's a nice person.
Oh, literally the nicest person. Within 5 seconds of talking to him, you're like, like they don't make him like him anymore. Like he is a sweetheart. He's just, it's so funny. His mom, his family's incredible. Like I get along with them so well.
Wow.
His parents have been married for 37 years. His mother's Jewish, his father's Catholic, and his brother's gay. And it's
nice.
Like, they're all just the most accepting, wonderful human beings on the planet. And I just, they feel like my family now. It's amazing.
Oh, that's good. That's good. That's wise words for anybody listening that is being mistreated in a relationship, because that's something we've been talking about on the podcast lately is verbal abuse and how that's just not acceptable at all. But so many women specifically find themselves in this place where they never thought that they would ever allow themselves to be treated that way. If a friend was treated that way, they would immediately know that's not okay.
Yeah.
But yet you get stuck in this, the bottom of a well almost, when it's coming from your partner. Did you find yourself like, cause I always wonder what it is. I've been in a relationship that was lightly emotionally abusive, but not like to a degree where I was being like name called often, but, like when it happens, do you know right away that it's wrong? Or are you just, is it confusing or what's your reaction?
In the first while of the relationship, I almost felt like I had to make something up to him because I knew what I had done had hurt him so badly. And I knew his family history, and I knew that those were his demons, that like what I did was probably the worst case scenario for him because of what his mom had done to his dad. And so I felt guilt.
But you hadn't done anything. Like you weren't cheating on him. I didn't feel guilt for the point of the show.
Yeah. I didn't feel guilt.
You felt
for
guilt
what
that
I
it aligned
done.
With his trigger. Yeah.
Yes. And so long, I felt like I had to make that up to him. And I allowed this abuse to happen where I got to a point where I almost adopted his demons. And then I became insecure in the relationship. And then I became jealous. And then I became emotionally abusive and name calling because it had just gotten to that point in that relationship. And it felt like you were saying, just the bottom of a hole where I couldn't get out until you really, you know, you have to face those demons. And I was like, I got to like go visit family. I got to surround myself with people that love me and I have to get away from this. And so that's why I started traveling and getting away. But
during that time, were you very open? Like, were you open with your friends and family about that you were kind of thinking of leaving the relationship or were you quiet about it?
No, I tell my family everything. And I have like three really solid best friends who I've had for one since I was like 7 years old and the other two since I was about like 19. So, I share everything with my family, my dad specifically, cause he is just like, so, he's just so of wise is so cheesy. He's so wise, but he really is. And he really knows like what matters in life and how people should be treated. And he can just say it in such a simple way where you're
very
like
grounded. Right. Man. Yeah.
So yeah, I was very open with my family about it.
That's good. That's good. Did they say like, did anybody get mad at him for calling you those terrible things?
Oh yeah. It's funny because my dad being the compassionate man he is, he was like, Caitlin, I'm going to fly to Nashville. And if he's open to it, I'm going to have a conversation with him. Because he's like, I've learned so much through, you know, a divorce and relationships and just through living life and making mistakes and feeling. And so he flew to my house and had a conversation with him. And I guess it went really well. And I came home and I was like, okay, maybe something's going to shift. And then the next day it was something was said to me and I was like, Dad, he said this. And he goes, my dad, who doesn't really swear, he goes, ah, fuck a horse, Kate, leave. I died. I was like, what?
Oh, your dad's so sweet.
He's the best.
That's very like AA meetings are like this. It's just like the AA rules and the handbook and stuff. It's very rooted in like love and kindness and like gentleness. Exactly. And cause I was like, would your dad go down there and punch him in the fucking face? No, he had a conversation with him like an adult. That's really nice. That's nice.
Yeah. So cute. Fuck a horse.
Well, I like what you said about adopting another person's demons, because I think so often that happens in relationships. And I was like thinking it back to other relationships I've had. Do you remember any other relationships where you adopted someone's demons?
I feel like every relationship, I've almost done that to a certain degree. Yeah. It's funny because I try to take Jason to therapy because I'm like, you've got to have some demons in there somewhere. Like, let's find them.
You're trying to summon them. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm like, I'm trying to think back on like my one where I was really heartbroken over. Like, I think because he felt like such a failure for not getting into the NHL when he had reached that point and then had been sent down. And I think him feeling like a failure made me feel like even more of a failure because I was like, well, I haven't even reached any top to go backwards. Like, I'm just down here and haven't done anything yet. So
I'm the
like
girlfriend
of
the failure. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah. Well, because I think it's like, so it's like then looking at this and that it's like a pattern that we all have happened in our relationships. How do we set a boundary so that we don't inherit the demons of our partners? Because I think that's like one of the important things of being, and I don't even know the answer to this because I have to be really careful about who I date, like as far as like people with depression, because I don't have depression, but if I'm around someone with depression, I have a glass half empty attitude for sure. And I can really easily be sucked into that. Like I can't, it's hard for me to even be around people with depression. And that's just because I'm being sensitive to myself and I know what I need and the energy I need to be around. But then it's like, how do you navigate it and set yourself up for success without like catching these demons? It feels like you're quarantining, but like from your partner.
It does. I think honestly, like my answer for a lot of things is doing therapy and work on yourself so that you can at least acknowledge your own demons. I think a lot of people, like even thinking back onto those relationships where I was adopting theirs, I don't think they even dug deep into why they had those demons and how they could approach them and how they could work on them. So if you have two people in a relationship that can dig that deep and acknowledge like the shadows that they have lived in and lived with, if they can both be aware of that and have the tools to work on that, that's setting boundaries right there, which is something that when I first started my relationship with Jason, we were like, what are boundaries and what do you need and what are your non-negotiables and what are your negotiables? And like, it was like very,
get it all. Yeah.
It was almost like business transition before we
started.
That's great.
It should be though. Yeah. It's nice because then before you really fall for each other, it's like, hey, let's talk about these logistical things that are important to us in a relationship. And it's such a comfortable time to have that conversation because the stakes are kind of low because you're not like fully in it yet. And so that's like the best time, in my opinion, to have that convo.
Yeah. That's why I love this podcast. Cause like so many times, like a colleague who I'm like, oh, I might have a little crush on them comes on the show. And then we kind of unpack how they act in relationships. And immediately I'm like,
nope, never mind.
No way.
Reverse that.
Absolutely not. And like, they never needed to know. I never had to go through the experience. So
what's valuable to you, in a sexual relationship? Like, what do you prioritize? What do you value?
I think, again, it's probably a simple answer, but it really is communication because I'm blanking on the word of it. It's like, I have anxiety around things going in there, whether it's a doctor, like anything, even a tampon. I cringe and I clamp up and it hurts me. And I'm like, so I have to be able to have the conversation to say like, it's not that I'm not enjoying this, but it's going to take me a second to get into it.
Right.
So I think to me, it's important to be able to have that communication with my partner to be like, I cannot just be a hole to you. When you are feeling like you want to have sex, like we're going to have to set the mood. I'm going to have to feel comfortable and we're going to have to like really talk and ease your way through that. Otherwise it's not going to be enjoyable for me.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
How are you able to have sex then with cameras like around you, or even, cause I know like the cameras aren't in the fantasy suites, but it's just like, it's still a very I imagine a very public place to be having sex.
I mean, I was in such a dark place during the end of that season.
Because you're like forcing yourself. Like
I honestly was like, I don't even know where I am, who I am. Like I couldn't talk to my family or friends.
Sleep deprivation is a war tactic. So
it honestly felt like, I don't even know how to explain it. It just, it, it felt like, you know, it was set up so beautifully. There was a nice, we're in a castle in Ireland with a fireplace roaring and like a bottle of wine and like a freaking bear rug. Like, so it was like, whoa, the mood was set.
Okay. Okay. Yeah,
Jesus Christ. But if you had no energy for it, you're like, oh man, this is like a, this is a princess like, scene and I'm so tired.
Exactly. Damn.
How does the internet still get at you for stuff, or like, how do you balance that? How do you balance the intake of social media or like the intake of feedback really?
Yeah, I do definitely still hear it a lot from a lot of people. You know, everybody has opinions, and I have been on the last two seasons of The Bachelorette as the co-host. So anytime you put yourself in those positions, you're opening up, you know, doors for criticism. And I go through it. Like I always say, it depends on where my cycle is at, because if I'm PMSing, like I truly think like my self-worth goes down. I believe what people are telling me on the internet. I get upset about it. And then once I've done that and it's a different point of my cycle, I'm like, oh my gosh, what's wrong with you? It's not me. And like, so it all just depends on where I'm at, but I'm able to like, I have this app where I fully track everything. And so I'm able to like, look at that and be like, oh, this is why I'm responding this way. And knowledge is power. So I'm like trying to like empower myself through where I'm at on my cycle with how I deal with relationships, with Instagram, with criticism and all of that.
Do you still run your own Instagram?
Yes, I do. I like it. I don't dive too deep into what people are saying to me in like nasty DMs or on Reddit threads. Like I try to not pay attention. I try to laugh at the people who make comments to me. Like somebody, women just seem to be so celebrated for getting married and having babies. Mm-hmm. And if you're not doing that and you're focusing on your own career, they want the people that are at home and have made those decisions,
the miserable fucks.
Great for them.
Yeah.
They come at you and they're like, aren't you supposed to be planning a wedding? And like, you're getting older. Like, aren't you, I thought you wanted a baby. And I'm like, we can be celebrated for actually working really hard on a career right now. I froze my eggs. I'm doing fine.
Well, shut the fuck up also. Like,
how old are you? Yeah. If you don't mind me asking, I'm sure it's out in the public anyway.
I'm 36.
Yeah. Okay. So people, I'm also 36. People are crazy about that. And it's like, I also think it's because you're coming from a very specific world. The bachelor, bachelorette world is going to have, your fans are going to have a more traditional perspective on the trajectory of a woman. But even us being in, you know, living in New York City and having this obviously like very progressive and feminist, openly sexual podcast, people still, it's a constant complaint for all the achievements that we have. We've written a book, we did a TED talk, and it's still like people get most excited when we're in a relationship. And I can't think of a more boring reason to get excited. Like, it's barely exciting for me. Like, I don't, and I mean, I'm all the way on the other side, but Jesus, it's just, how do you, it's like, how do we remove that from the heterosexual female brain? I would love to.
That's a good question.
Lobotomy.
I don't know. I do think generationally, like, things will get a little bit different, just because, you know, we still have people who have that old school way of thinking and haven't, like, aren't very open-minded. So I think the, you know, we're the generation where it's like, oh, they're not having kids yet. Like, we are that generation who's waiting longer. So I think the next one, it'll be like normal. I don't know. I'm hoping.
Yeah. What did you have, you had a conversation about so many things with your fiance. I'm guessing children was one of the big parts of that conversation.
Yeah.
And what did that look like? I'm curious what that looked like, because for me, that's like a deal breaker in so many relationships, especially at this age when it's kind of like, you know, you do have to think about time, but like, I am not at all interested in having children. And I feel like that really turns guys off.
Well, yeah, it depends. But I used to not want kids I shouldn't say that. I've always wanted kids. I went through a very small period of time where I didn't want kids because I didn't want relationships in general. And I didn't want I didn't want people to ever go through bad things or like bring someone into the world. I like went through that phase. And then Jason is like very much about having a family and can't wait. And I too, like, I feel like I'm supposed to be a mom at some point in my life. But he also knows that I feel like I'm just at a point in my career where I want to put myself still first and our relationship first. And then, like I'll be ready to have kids in probably a couple of years or next year. But right now I'm like so focused on things that I want to do to set myself up for success and set a family up for success. And he's totally on the same page as me for that.
Well, that's nice. What is the process of freezing your eggs? I got a new gynecologist and she sat me down in her office after the appointment. She was like, so you're 33, we're going to freeze your eggs? I'm like, oh, no, what? I don't know.
No, do it. It's the best. It's so empowering. That was when I started being less critical of myself and what my body looked like and started celebrating what my body could do because it was magical. And, you know, the older you get, the older your eggs get and the less your eggs get. And your body is actually meant to have kids at like 16. And that's when you're the most fertile. And like, so each year I froze my eggs when I was 32. And, honestly, it was not as hard as I thought it was going to be. I mean, it sounds so
scary. Hormones. I couldn't go on birth control. Hormonal birth control sent me for a loop. So I'm like, oh, the hormones you have to take to get the get the eggs extracted.
Yeah, I was not okay for like 3 weeks, but like what's 3 weeks compared to like, you know, feeling that, that almost safety insurance. Yeah, my hormones, I can't take birth control because of my hormones. My hormones were all over the place. I looked like I was 4 months pregnant. If you looked at my blood work, it would say I was pregnant. But the overall like surgery for going under is like 10 minutes, very simple. And you could go about your day, like you couldn't heavy exercise, but that's about it.
Oh, okay. All right. That's not too bad.
You could do it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm single though. So I'm like, I need to meet somebody that I want to procreate with, but I guess it's a good insurance. Like you said.
Yeah, no, do it anytime, but sooner the better.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like if you're going to do it, I'm like, oh, I should have done it when I was 16, you know,
just in case. Get that 16-year-old egg. Fuck.
See, I've had those on a shelf. Yeah. It's also like $20,000 though. Is it not?
Yeah.
It's like,
expensive.
And insurance doesn't cover it.
No, of course not.
Wait, is that available in Canada for free or for cheaper or is it more expensive?
Oh, I don't know. I did it in Chicago. One of my best friends, she works for OVA. It's a fertility clinic in Chicago. Mm. It's one of the best. So I did it with her. But yeah, it's expensive.
Yeah. But, you know, could be worth it when that baby comes out.
I'm glad you did it.
If you want one, I was like, it's nothing I ever thought about, but lots of people do it. And especially I think a lot of like women, female comedians, because we are a group of people who are working, you know, so career focused for so long and then you lose sight of it. So
if
it's a possibility, why not?
Thank you so much for being on the show, Caitlin. Where can we find you? Where can we listen to your podcast, social media handle? What would you like to promote?
All my socials are very straightforward. It's just at Caitlin Bristow on all of the things. My podcast is called Off the Vine, and on Thursdays it's called Grape Therapy, and it's basically on, you know, Apple, Spotify, wherever you find podcasts. And I have my own wine label, which I'm so proud of because I didn't just like slap my name on somebody else's wine. And like I actually put so much work into this wine label and it's really doing well. And it's called Spade and Sparrows, and it's Spade and Sparrows on Instagram and TikTok and all the things. It's really good if you're a wine drinker. I've got a Pinot Noir, a Cab, a Rosé, and a Pinot Grigio. My whole bus is drinking it right now on tour and everybody loves it. And then also I have a apparel line for scrunchies and sweatsuits and hats, and it's called Edit, and it's amazing. And I think that's all.
Awesome. That's great.
You have so much going on. Good for you. That's incredible. Thank you so much for being on our show. This has been Guys We Fucked, the anti-slut shaming podcast. We'll talk to you next Friday. Guys We Fucked is presented by Luminary.
Created and hosted by Corinne Fisher and Christina Hutchinson.
Editing and music coordination by Mike Coscarelli. Theme song by Rob Patterson and Jake Kozen.
Suck my wet ass pussy.
Christina said to cut that before, but now it's in there.
Yeah, let's keep it. Who cares? Servicing a hand, melatonin for dreamland, and caffeine on demand. Day cool, night cool, kill yourself, work, fulfilled with work, instill self-worth. I got a craving to quench, sip on codeine, I'm content. Cocaine and I'm clenched, crude eloquent, money spent, evident. Killing my craving.
lives are lies. Drink chloride, pesticides, doctors dealing in disguise, getting high just to survive. Peyote, rainbow roads, LSD, meeting the almighty on DMT, XTC, THC, ADD, ICT. Benzos to breathe, bottles to sleep, but shut off your brain, the brain needs to sleep. Norco, Norco, change my life. Vodka, whiskey, change my life. Build the side, leave them odd. Kitchen knives, I'm noided. Credit card late fees on sex and treats. Self-care don't come cheap, we all gotta cheat. Parachuting and using the fucking excuses. Feed my mouth, feed my bank, feed my mind, feed my future. Snort up my debt, drink the rumors. Molly dealing, not dealing, just running and running. I keep it 100, ay. Dreaming of screaming, but let's get high. 5-O-M-G for that bitch trash sleep. Shaking my ass, bitch, lick my titties. Yo, man, wish you look like me.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.